Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Becky, and I'm joined by Ariel.
Hello.
Maggie.
Hey.
Rachel.
Hi.
Our podcast, Pixie Miles, in the corner.
We're so happy to have you back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. Ooh, ooh. We got a really exciting episode today. We are going to address some very serious fucking beef we have with our spouses.
Yeah. We're beefing back.
We're beefing back.
Guys, we listened to the tripod.
Yeah. We did it.
And we saw the title of last week's podcast episode. Beefing with our partners. Excuse me.
If anyone has beef, it's us.
I listened to it on 2x the speed and waited for my name. I was like, Maggie. I'm like, pause. Okay, bring it back, bring it back. What'd he say?
Miles, we really appreciate what you said about our remote shooting podcast setups. Yes. I'm just assuming I'm also included in that. And how beautiful our homes are and how we're on time and relatively technically competent. We're not the worst
company. We just do what Miles tells us to do.
We do. We listen to the Pixie. You know.
Listen to the Pixie.
We follow instructions.
At the end of the episode, too, we're going to be answering some of your questions from our emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, but first, let's get to the beef.
Yeah.
Beef, baby.
Who's got the biggest beef? Ariel, you got some beef?
I mean, I just have beef in general, but also Ned is in the next room over there. He's literally looking for a cord. I know exactly what he's looking for. He's looking for a cord. Hi, hun. Did you find what you were looking for?
Oh.
Ned, this is our time.
No, get out of here. I'm about to beef.
Interesting that you're here, though, Ned, because I have some beef with you, full throttle foamer. My husband came home from a shoot this weekend. What do you think he was covered in, full throttle foamer?
Bruises.
Bruises. He's bruised all over his arms, all over his legs. And I said I was going to get one punch on Ned for every bruise he had.
Did he explain why he had those bruises, though?
Yeah, because he was winning and you got mad.
No. Becky, the bruises are the reason he was winning because
he was blocking
all of my kicks. I was scoring no points because he was so good at blocking.
But get out of here.
All right.
Love you. Bye.
I consider the beef squashed.
Beef squashed.
Beef squashed.
That was easy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. Usually, though, I do say, was it Zach when Keith is injured? Because during they're usually paired together. And when they did the, like, escaping, getting kidnapped, like, rubbed his arm too hard and gave Keith, like, rope burn.
Aww.
And I, like, he's got such a, like, soft, milky body that if he gets injured, I'm like, I will kill them.
I love when Keith and Zach are paired together because they always just end up hugging.
They're like, let's just hug it out.
Becky, you're reminding me of a TikTok where there's like a quiet person up front. It'd be Keith here with his milky body.
Oh, yes.
And someone's like confronting him and he's like, oh, sorry, so sorry. And Becky's like, talk to me.
I do always want the guys to do a video that's husband and wife boxing, but Keith always says no. So I was like, but what if Ned and I boxed? Because technically it's a husband and a wife.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that.
I would like to see Ariel and Eugene. Quite frankly.
Oh, I would love that.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually
you can't put me against Keith. Keith is huge.
No, Maggie and Keith just get into the ring and hold hands.
Yeah.
Watch
you
videos.
Guys just dance in a circle. Like,
I know. I was like, we would not get down to what we were supposed to.
Yeah, you guys can put on a musical performance.
Oh my gosh,
together.
You don't want to hear me sing. I'll just kind of like float in the background.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I would be happy to take Eugene in the ring.
The Eugene aerial competitive energy is at like an 11 all the time.
I would love that. I'm actually like, I'm getting excited thinking about it.
She's getting like,
I feel like because I love like kickboxing, and I know that Eugene does too. And I feel like we're both pretty like accurate when it comes to, you know, like punching and stuff. And so as long as we're wearing the right pads, like, and neither of us are going to go super hard. So it would just be fun.
You wouldn't? No, yeah. You would go hard to win.
Yes. Well, that's true. Once the like competitiveness hits, like, just like
you would like
clicks on.
Agree to protect each other's faces. And then other than that, it would be like a no holds bar brawl. Yeah.
But I guess no titties.
I have no titties. Yeah.
Maybe there are pads for that.
I have a lot more just like it, like integrated padding than Eugene does, I feel like. So perhaps I would get less hurt.
What would be your nickname, since we have Full Throttle Fulmer, for when Ned goes to a 10? What would be Ariel's? I guess you could still be Full Throttle Fulmer.
I could just be Full Throttle Fulmer. Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys about the time that Ned was playing cards with my family and he lost so badly? So badly. I've never seen him lose so badly. And my family was just like, there were like no holds barred made fun of him for it. And
full heckle.
Full heckle. We called him Full Hand Fulmer because he kept, I think we were playing hearts and he kept going down with like full hands. Is that, or maybe it was spades. Anywho.
Can't recall.
He got like all the points and he has never lived that down. And I like, you guys know Ned. I think everybody who's listening knows Ned. Like, he does not like to lose, nor does he like to get made fun of. And so it was a very difficult time in his life. Aww. It was probably 3 hours that he will never, ever, ever forget.
Well, that's the perfect segue for you to tell us about your beef with him.
Yeah.
What's your my beef, gosh. Girl?
Kick him while he's down.
So, yeah, kick him while he's down. That's exactly poor what guy. I want to do. All right. So last week on the tripod, the guys had a beef with us that was prompted by Miles, which I understand. You know, they didn't come in wanting to beef. But
they know
better. But they were, because they know better.
Miles, is that a marketing tactic because the girls are more popular than the guys?
100%.
Yeah. So the more you mention them, because we use that in Try Guys videos, you know, we'll talk about YouTube beauty influencers because they're more popular than we are. We'll talk about their drama.
Right, of course.
And then their fans tune in and we're like, oh, welcome. Come over here. The water's fine.
Do you like unproblematic YouTubers?
Stay here.
Don't go back.
So I feel like Miles just brought up your names.
Totally.
To migrate our audience.
Also, because Miles knows us and he knows we are going to beef right back. Because, oh my goodness. Okay, first I have to give it to Keith. He is the sweetest husband in the entire world. If you guys don't listen to the tripod, you should, because Keith just, I swear he talked the entire time about how clean his house is because of Becky.
He knows what's
because
good for
of
him.
Becky. He was so thankful. It was almost like, like he was just like, Becky cleans all the time. Becky's so good at keeping our house. Becky does this. Becky does this.
The
Becky's
more
beautiful.
He talked
Becky's
about it, the more I could hear that he was fearful that someday she might want it to be more equitable.
I
was like, I gotta give her praise so that this never stops.
10 years, man. That's how long you just gotta drill it in.
Yeah. I have also been with Ned for 10 years and I seriously, I was listening to the entire episode waiting for my damn turn. I was like, when is Ned going to say how great I am at cleaning and how thankful he is that I do all the work around the house?
Instead, he said you throw out his leftovers.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I clean out the refrigerator and I throw out the nasty leftovers.
That's so nice.
And he's mad.
It is so
because
nice of you.
He thinks that like I threw away his meat because I don't like meat. What is that?
I was slowly just cleaning out the fridge. He's like, get this out.
No meat today.
What if I didn't clean out the fridge? What if I just left it?
Then you'd have like 10,000 science experiments.
Exactly. We would have nasty stuff in the back because mm-hmm. Ned just takes whatever's in front. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it belongs to him or if it belongs to somebody else who's like our nanny, for example, who brings her lunch every day because she's mm-hmm. like vegan and gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll go in and he will grab her lunch.
Oh,
yeah.
She should start putting a note on the fridge, like in office workrooms uh-huh. that are like, the yellow Tupperware is Mimi's. Stay away.
I think to myself, like, you know that's not our Tupperware.
Right.
Like, we've had the same Tupperware for ages. Uh-huh. You know that the one with the wooden top is, like, that doesn't go in the dishwasher. I don't have wooden top Tupperware. Like, that's not yours. Don't eat it.
That's not yours, sir.
It doesn't make sense. I love my husband so much, but I was so disappointed. Like, aww, I wasn't even mad. I was just like, well, why does he not think that I clean?
Just leave his, his laundry
all the damn time.
Yeah. Leave his laundry out. Don't do it.
A whole laundry episode.
We all know you. The audience knows you. We know.
Like, you guys walk into my house. Yes.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. And Rach, you were there the other day and everything mm-hmm. was out. Everything.
Every toy was out. Ariel, and then suddenly it was like almost 7 p.m. Ariel ushered the girls and I to the car. She buckled a baby into the car for me. And we left her house filled to the brink with toys and dishes. And I'm sure you went right back inside and cleaned it all up.
That's exactly what I did. That's what happens to our house every day. It's like it expands with dishes and toys and dirt and, like, you know,
toddlers.
and then at, like, you know, you get all the kids to bed and then you clean everything back up.
Yeah. I'm surprised you clean it all up.
Like, you gotta. Yeah.
You can't walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Yeah. Although, I was completely exhausted yesterday and we went to the park and it was very sweet. And I told Ned, I was like, I'm exhausted. And he was like, you should take a mini vacation. I was like, what?
Wait.
Really?
Really?
Watts always says that too. Do you want to go together? Watts is always like, do you want to have a weekend away by yourself? And I'm like,
said that?
Yeah.
This is the first time Ned's ever said it. And I was like, yes. Yes, yes, I do.
Yes, we should go out to Palm Springs and leave our children behind.
Let's do it. Let's leave the boys with the babies. It'll be great. Yeah. He was like, yeah, go for like a day and like get a massage or something. And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Can I? Like, there's all, I mean, also COVID. So,
oh, so
like,
is your beef squashed if you have a mini vacation on the horizon?
Yeah. That's a really good question. He also did the dishes last night when I was reading to Wes. Whoa. I know. And I came out and I was like,
here's a question. Do you delegate?
Like, ask him to do stuff? Uh-huh. Actually, yeah. There was one time a couple years ago when I was like, I really hate cleaning out the dishwasher. Can you mm-hmm. please clean out the dishwasher?
Mm.
And that was one of the things that he talked about loving. And so maybe I just need to delegate more. Maybe I just need to be like, can you also fold the laundry? And can you also like sweep the floors? And maybe you could also, I don't know, like, make the bed, make breakfast. No, he makes the bed. No, Ned is great. But he does do, you know, he does his fair share, but I was waiting for my
to be appreciated.
My day in the sun. Yeah. Anywho, Ned, if you're listening, I was really disappointed that you didn't talk about how wonderful I am. But I love you anyway, and you do clean sometimes, but, you know, everybody likes to be heard.
Let's appreciate Ariel for a
second. No, I don't.
Ariel, when you show up somewhere, you have a bag full of stuff that means you are prepared. You've got it together. There are always snacks. Anything you need for a toddler or your work life is in that bag. Your house, you make it seem like my children digging through all your drawers and pulling out everything is no big deal. And they happily do so quietly while I drink wine.
With me, which is the greatest joy in my life.
So you're an excellent host. Yeah. You're very generous with your space and your food and everything you have. And you make... I always come up against this because I feel like you can see the amount of effort I put into everything, but Ariel makes things seem easy. She's like, oh yeah, we can do that. Oh yeah, we can do that. Because you're so competent.
You're so
you make
sweet.
Things seem easy. We I mean, really appreciate
you. You know
you.
Why Ned probably doesn't notice those things that you do?
Because
he's always taking showers. He's in the shower.
He's in the bath.
He's in the
shower.
He can't see it because he's showering.
Doesn't know. You guys, Max, I'm starting, now I'm starting to feel bad that I'm like throwing that under the bus.
I feel his whole brand is how much he loves you.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
does he listen to You Can Sit With Us?
He probably doesn't hear it. No,
I think Zach is the only one who listens religiously.
Our biggest fan.
Yeah.
Our number one fan. And Eugene listens. He texts me after episodes sometimes.
Aww.
So cute. Yeah, he listens. He listens right away, too. It was like only Tuesday. And I was like, wow.
If I don't have a tripod like ready to go, mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I going to listen to? Crime Junkies?
Like, I listen to Crime Junkies around the clock.
I do love Crime Junkies.
Yeah. What about your beef?
Okay, I can't beef on Zach just because if you knew who Zach was when we first started dating to where he is now.
I've only ever known Maggie. I can't do it.
I'm not home half of the time and he's shooting in the space and doing all sorts of work in the living room and in our bedroom and in his the office and stuff like that. But he makes sure that things keep moving. Like sometimes I get home from work and I just collapse. Like I'll clean a little bit, but ultimately the reason he brought up onto the tripod that he hates cleaning and he has beef with cleaning, it's not because he has beef with me. And I was like, you better make sure that you're not displaying to everyone that I'm not cleaning, because I totally am. But it's honestly his mess because I have to clean at work.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to be super clean.
I have to be so clean. I have to clean my workspace before I get there, after I get there, between people coming in and out, it's a lot. So yeah, I cannot dunk on him. I have to keep telling him how great of a job he's doing so he will continue doing it. Because if I tell him he's not doing it, then he's like, well, why do I even do this? You know?
So he really operates off of verbal praise.
Oh, he loves verbal praise. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If I tell him how wonderful
they
he's doing,
do.
Yeah, he loves it. Even if,
I mean, all humans do.
All humans do. Yeah. Who doesn't like to be told they're doing
a good job? But especially these boys.
Oh my gosh. He's doing a great job, though. Cooking, cleaning.
You
he's really
that,
stepped
Zach?
It up.
No beef.
No beef.
And we know you're a You Can Sit With Us fan.
We know you're listening,
we love
Zach.
Zach.
And we also know what your apartment looked like before Maggie.
Yeah.
Oh my
Remember
God.
The rats?
So it was like a man cave.
Man jungle.
Yeah, it was unreal.
It was terrifying. Yeah. And Andy only ate those takeout salads from Trader Joe's.
Oh my gosh. Which
when he like wouldn't
so
cook
bad.
Anything, he would be like, I just have this salad. I'm like, what are you doing?
I had to wean him off those salads.
Yeah.
He used to have like six of those in the fridge. I was like, you know how easy it is to make a salad? You just buy lettuce and you cut it.
It's so easy. You could just buy the mixed greens and then you just grab a handful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good job, Zach. Keep it up.
You got this, Zach.
No beef, Zach. What's the opposite of beef?
Ice cream?
Salad?
Vegetables?
All veggies and ice cream. No beef.
It is funny how people like are so motivated by verbal like praise.
I guess it's different people, right, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But Ned and I found that, because, like, you know, it gets hard when you have your first kid and you're not, like, communicating as much. Mm-hmm. And so we were both feeling very, very underappreciated. Mm-hmm. And we went to therapy and found that, like, basically, if we just tell each other what a great job you're doing, it makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's
just
nice.
Just, like... Just noticing, you know, oh, thank you for emptying the dishwasher. Thank you for putting on pants.
Yeah.
You know, like,
okay, that does make,
like, your hair looks clean today.
Not good, but clean.
Hey, clean, you know, like, take it where you can get it.
Yeah. Yep.
But it makes such a big difference. And I told you guys on an episode a couple ago that I was an unsolicited compliment giver.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's why. Oh. I think that's why. Because I just feel like people respond to that kind of like verbal praise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if I don't know them. Which I know can sometimes be problematic. And no. I'm sorry if I gave anybody an unsolicited compliment.
If you're complimenting people's outfits, that's never problematic.
Yeah.
People love to hear that.
Yeah.
I love it when someone asks me and the answer is something incredibly accessible and cheap or easy to get. And I hate when the answer is like, you ask someone, you're like, where's that beautiful dress from? You look so great. And they're like, oh, it's vintage. And you're like, all right.
Cool. Makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm, it's a big Midwestern thing when someone asks you about your outfit to tell them the discount you got on.
Yeah.
Forever. Someone will be like, oh my God, I like your shoes. And I'll be like, thank you. They were 50% off. And then I had an extra coupon. So I got another 10% off and free shipping.
Wow. It was President's Day weekend sale. So you know.
Yeah.
My mom is the master of that. She'll come home from the store or something like that. And she's like, look what I got. It was 50% off. And it's like, okay, but how much was it? It was 50% off. She never says how much something is. It's just
the sale. Mm-hmm.
The sale. The discount. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the Extreme Couponers?
No. Mm-hmm.
I tried to do it once. So it used to be a TV show, but it's something that people do. Mm-hmm. And they basically like stockpile. So the reason I've never done it is because it's always for like weird shit, like toothpaste.
Right.
So they'll stockpile these coupons for like toothpaste that's like 50% off. And then they'll find a manufacturer's coupon and they'll pop that one in there. Mm-hmm. And they'll end up getting like 80 tubes of toothpaste for like a dollar.
It's
insane. And on the TV show they used to have, they would go into their like their hoarder's den, their stockpile den, which mm-hmm. was usually their garage. Mm-hmm. And it was just wall to ceiling of like cleaning supplies and
what do they do with that? Can they
paper.
Donate it?
They no, just they use just it for use like big families. Yeah. Usually it was a big family. At least of the episodes that I saw. But I tried to do it once. It was very stressful. Yeah.
Tried to get 80 tubes of toothpaste?
I didn't try the 80 tubes of toothpaste, but I was trying to stockpile coupons. And I like gave the cashier two of the coupons. They're like, you can't use both of these at the same time.
And you were like,
darn it, I give
up. There you go. I'm done.
Coupon life is not
I'm
for me.
Done.
You're like, on TV, I saw them use 8.
I saw them use.
Can you believe coupon booklets still look like the exact same that they did in the 90s?
Yes.
I just got a coupon booklet from Vaughn's. You know, like the flip ones? And you like
the big.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is 2021. They have not like come up with a better way to market these coupons.
No.
I know they're trying to save space, but they're like this big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you still, CVS is the one where you get like the yards long receipts with the coupons.
I've stopped putting in my number.
Break too. I have to cut out this little piece of paper to save 50 cents on asparagus. If you can afford to mark it down, just mark it down.
Yeah. That's what I don't get. Why isn't it all like the phone number like Ralph's does?
Like you're wasting money making the coupon booklets for people to save,
you know,
50 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you can afford to mark it down, just mark it down.
Yeah.
Give us our discount.
Give us our discount. If it's in season, it should be on sale.
I fucking love discounts.
I yeah. I do get a sick joy from watching when you're checking out at the grocery store or something like mm-hmm. that. And like they press the button that says, I'm done. And then it all goes like tick, 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 tick. And you're like, oh, hell yeah. 25 cents here, 50 cents there.
We were getting a big order once. We were in like Big Bear with my brother and sister-in-law. And I love to play the game as you're checking out to be like, okay, over under 300, like over under 100, like to see who can get closest. So we're all doing our guesses and it goes through. And it was like $600. And we were all like, what? I mean, we were buying food for like a week for like four people. So we were like, that's crazy. And my brother-in-law's like a whiz kid. And he's like, this is wrong. And so we asked the lady to go back. She had put in like 75 avocados.
Oh my God.
It was like she hit the wrong button. And so it went to like 75. So we had like $200 of avocado in
and
our
you
cart.
Were like, no way.
And I was like, I'm so glad he was here because I would have just been like, yes, that must be what it
that
is.
That must be right.
I would have not. I would have said nothing. I'd be like, thank you. Thank you
thank
so much.
You
do
so
you want
much.
Another 10?
Yeah,
do you want a tip? Here you are.
That's bananas.
But yeah, always keep an eye out. Make sure there aren't any double 75 avocado
punches. Whoa. Do you guys like read through magazines when you're checking out at the grocery store, or is it more of a like, are you watching like everything kind of go through?
I watch them.
You watch them?
It's been so long since I've been in a grocery store.
Yeah. I know.
I just order online.
Depends what grocery store. That some pandemic. Of them you can see, some of you can't. So you kind of have to do like the thing where you have all your bags ready and you're standing out there with your paper receipt and you're just going through one by one.
Uh-huh.
My mom, totally. She used to yell at me when she said, Meg, you got to check your receipt. And I'm like, yeah, they got it. Whatever.
It's fine.
They got it. I know.
They got it.
I used to be the sort of person that would like grab the Inquirer and be like, what's going on today? But now, I don't know. I feel like grocery stores are so understaffed that I will go to the end and I will bag my own groceries.
Oh, I bag all my own groceries. When I went.
Because also, I don't want, because I feel like I can bag it more, efficiently because I know how I put things
fired
away.
At the grocery store.
Cold with cold, heavy on bottom.
If I get home and my peaches and tomatoes are bruised, I'm so sad.
I know, and it's not their fault. They're moving very quickly, and so but for me, it's I know when I get home that I'm going to want to put away the things that are cold first, and I want all of my produce in one bag and all of my chips and bread in another bag.
Dry goods.
Yeah, you know? And so, and they're always putting... I actually worked at a Whole Foods one time. And so, I know how you're supposed to do it. And so you make them so they're not too heavy because you don't want the handles to break. And I'm like, no, you can make it heavy. It's fine. I'm not like going a far distance, you know? And so I'll load them up and put like all the wine bottles in one bag and I'll carry it from the bottom because I know, you know, I don't know. It's just, I just, and I feel like I'm helping. I don't know. Am I? Am I helping?
I also bag groceries. I hate watching someone check out and just standing there.
Me too.
Just watching them as they go through and they've checked out everything and then they start bagging it. I'm like, you are in this together. Please.
Well, technically during a part of the pandemic, they didn't want you touching anything.
That's true.
And they don't want your, because I would bring all the reusable bags in.
That's true.
And one time I put the reusable bag on the thing and thankfully I had a very nice checkout lady who was like, ma'am, remove your bag and don't put your hands on this. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
I was like, I didn't even think about it. I just did it. I'm so sorry. I'll just stand here. I won't touch anything. I won't even look at you.
You're 100% right.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah. I think we've moved on. I think they're back to letting you bag your groceries.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't
been. They let you bring your bags back.
They let you
that
bring
came
your
back,
bags.
But you have to bag it yourself.
All right, we have some emails from all the cutie booties out there.
Cutie
and we'll see how many of them we can get through. Okay, here's the first one from Haley. The subject line is great. Are weddings worth it? Please help.
Oh, yeah. That's a question from me, too.
Yeah, so my boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 years. We lived together, just us, for 2 years. So during COVID, he decided to leave his job. They had health insurance questions. We ended up getting legally married to get him some health insurance.
Congratulations,
Haley. And hubby. We have been talking about getting married, like having a wedding, and love each other very much. I was wondering if it's weird or outrageous to still want an engagement proposal and wedding ceremony, even though we are already legally married. I mean, we don't want to get married, obviously, until there is no longer a pandemic, but I just started looking at the cost of weddings, and I don't know if I'm being too demanding. I guess if you guys could talk about your views and insight. Thank you. Love you.
Oh.
So, Haley.
Mm-hmm. I have some feelings about this.
She did not get engaged, but to cover her beloved during COVID, they went to the courthouse and they did the thing, which you can do over Zoom now, apparently.
Yeah,
Maggie and I were looking into it.
We were looking into Santa Barbara and they're only doing Zoom. And I proposed it to Zach and he was like, no. He's like, I don't think that's what you want. I was like, it could totally be. We could get like a room up in Big Sur. He's like, we're going to open up the computer and there's going to be an officiant being like, hello. He's like, I was like, it just sounds so easy. And like, we can have like a real wedding in like a year or two because that's what he wants. So I was like, so you can meet me in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, but, I smell beef.
Yeah, it's not beef. It's not beef. But at the end of the day, he wants his mom and dad involved. And like, I would like my mom and dad involved. So it's just based
He's
on
a romantic
what you want.
Boy.
But
Well, that's the thing about weddings is that half the time, not more than half the time, I don't even know why I said half the time, weddings are not for you.
there for your families.
Mm-hmm. Marriage is for you.
Marriage is for you.
That's my belief too. Your marriage is for you too.
Your wedding.
Your wedding is for your family and your community.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so the question that you have to ask yourself, Haley, is I feel like a, you know, one of those radio show therapists, the question that you have to ask yourself, Haley, is like, do you want to share this, your joy with your friends and family? You know, the wedding, you're not going to eat your own food. You're not going to eat your own cake. You're going to be talking to all of your friends. You're going to be talking to your family. Planning it is, can be fun, but it's also very stressful because you have all these people that can come, can't come. Your parents have a list. His parents have a list. You know, it can, I mean, what was your, you guys are all going, have been through this or are going through this. I mean, what do you think?
We are like not in the planning stages at all anymore. We kind of have put in our mind that it's not going to be till like end of 2022 at the earliest or 2023. So we have like a lot of time to think of what it is we want. But I think Zach talked about this on the tripod, but we have prioritized trying to buy a house. I think that's more important to us right now, especially with the pandemic.
That is such a solid pandemic decision.
I know.
That can affect your life overwhelmingly and immediately rather than a wedding, which you can't even have yet.
Yeah. We were going to try to do both at the same time, but planning those, like doing those, both of those huge steps in your life, I started to notice that I was getting like really anxious about it. And like I was getting asked questions from two different people that were helping us with both processes. I was like, I can't make both of those decisions and like be planning. Cause then I really want to enjoy planning the wedding. And I also want to be really excited. And the home buying process right now is just insane. All over the world right now. Yeah. It's crazy. So we've kind of just postponed it because we want to enjoy both of those processes.
As you should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both super stressful. Why put them together?
Yeah. Have you guys seen that Netflix show, Marriage or Mortgage?
Yes. I don't understand it.
I have not seen it.
I watched the first episode. It's basically Love It or List It.
Yeah.
But wedding or house.
Yes.
Why is it just going to be over?
It's because it's all they have in their budget.
Oh.
But you get to have someone take you to like three really good wedding venues and three really good houses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go ahead and say, having bought a house and had a wedding, buy the house.
Yeah.
Buy the house. Buy the house.
Weddings are super fun. They're so much fun to hang out with your friends and family, have like a big celebration of your love. But a house is like, if you can only pick one, the house is going to bring you more. You know, over time, also wedding, you don't get anything back on that investment other than love.
Yeah.
Your house, that's, you know, you can sell it eventually.
The wedding is one day.
Yeah.
It's one day.
But it's important to a lot of people's parents, I think, is a big one. So I would say, Haley, if your family really wants you to have like a wedding, and that's something you really want to do, then do it.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Haley and her partner did not get engaged before they agreed to get married so that I think said he could be covered by health insurance. So I think if you want an engagement, you already like did the big thing. You absolutely should get an engagement and they should surprise you with it.
Like
nothing has been taken from this experience. You should go for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And in the end, truly, if it's something that you want, you know, if you are going to be disappointed 10 years from now and you look back and you say like, oh, I wish I had done the wedding or I wish I had pictures of, you know, me in a wedding dress or me with my grandmother and my entire family, you know, then absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of those things that if it's really important to you, you're going to want to do it and you're going to want to have those memories to look back on.
And weddings do not have to be 100 people, 400 right. people, no. a buffet. I've been to daytime weddings that just had a little brunch. Mm-hmm. I've been to weddings that only had 30 people at them. Mm-hmm. You do not need to take out a loan to have a wedding. Mm-hmm. You just need to think outside the box about which parts of it are really important to you. A great dress or great food or having more of your friends there. Mm-hmm. And which parts are less important to you. Mm-hmm. And then prioritize those.
Yeah. And I feel like with COVID and everything, there's so many people that are just getting married mm-hmm. and having it very small and intimate. And then mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. maybe down the line, maybe not, we'll have a bigger party for their community.
Yeah. Yep. So that's what my brother did. We went to a Zoom wedding.
Yeah.
Just me and my parents and her
did
friend.
Did he get married over Zoom with the officiant or was he with the officiant?
No, it was right at the beginning of COVID. Like it was right before everything fully locked down. So the officiant came to their house. So it was just my brother, his wife, and the officiant. Okay. And then my parents and I were all on Zoom.
Got it.
And my parents had COVID at the time.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
oh my
God. Wrapped in blankets. Like,
watching
the screen. I have some pictures of all of us standing next to our TVs that are some of the ugliest pictures in the world. Thankfully, they took much better pictures together because I was like,
Haley, good luck to you. Yeah. I think you should get a surprise engagement and then you guys should pick out a wedding that is cost effective but makes you feel really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one is from Maggie. Hi, ladies.
Is it you?
Is it me?
Do you have a question, Marguerite?
That you would like to
Mags
ask the group?
Mags has a question. My question for y'all is, can you remember a specific time in your life where you felt like a failure? Maybe you didn't get a job you wanted or didn't pass a big exam. I could really use the encouragement and advice on how you picked yourself up and moved on. With love, Maggie.
Every single freaking day.
Does anyone remember a like specific failure that like felt really hard and how you like move on from that?
I'm being honest. Every single day, I feel like, I feel like, you know, something happens and I'm like, all right, well, let me just think about how I bombed that. Yeah. And and now I'm going to continue on with my life. You know, it's kind of...
Are you talking about work or parenting or relationships?
All of the above. Or how I fail myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like I make a commitment to myself and then I completely lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm going to go for a jog this morning. Nope. Yep. Okay. Failed that. Well, continue on with my day. You know? Yep. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, parenting, that's the sort of thing where like if you get angry with your kids or something like that, you can't help mm-hmm. but kind of feel bad. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, well, that happened. And now we're going to continue on. Yeah. But it's an incredibly valid question. How do you move on from those things?
Why do I constantly feel like I'm failing? I don't know why. Yeah, I think I'm still on a path of being a little bit more gentle with mm-hmm. myself. Because I definitely am really hard on myself and not being so mean.
What does that sound like in your head when you're like consciously trying to be gentle with yourself or kind to yourself?
Well, I'm still working on it, but
yeah,
usually I'm very mean. I'm like, ugh, you're so stupid.
I have a tip. Do you want to hear a tip?
Yeah.
Do you want my tip? Therapist? Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would say if you feel like a failure, try antidepressants. Really good. They really help. Uh-huh. But my therapist said when you're having a day where you're like having really negative thoughts and they're mm-hmm. like ruminating, to ask yourself, am I thinking this because I love myself or because I hate myself? Mm. And like in your head, would you ever be like, I hate myself?
Yeah.
Like, no, you realize how mean that sounds. And you're mm-hmm. like, I don't hate myself. I love myself. So then you can like catch yourself in the thought and be like, no, I love myself. I will think of it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mental game. Yeah. But I also like to try to accomplish something that makes me feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can sort of hold on to that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. I think that you could use that if you have small failures or if you have a big failure, you know, mm-hmm. Like failing a test or mm-hmm. or you know not getting a job that you wanted or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Then you know you find something that you know that you can do
mm-hmm.
And that would make you feel like you can accomplish something and do that, you know, mm-hmm. and then hold on to that. Because it really is a mental game. You know, failures, it's mm-hmm. it's all about what's going on in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, like nobody is going to look at you and be like, oh my God, you didn't get that job. I can't believe mm-hmm. that. It's mm-hmm. it's the, you know, the self-talk that you're mm-hmm. that you're doing in your head. And so you have to play those mental games.
You do. And you're allowed to be sad about it. If something disappointing or upsetting or traumatic happens, you're allowed to be sad for a bit or frustrated with yourself or mm-hmm. but you can't stay there forever.
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
Yeah. How do you pull yourself out?
I once lost a big job that I really loved. Nothing I did, but it moved up to Canada and they did not take me with them. And I was suddenly went from like working like 70 hours a week on the show that went to Canada and needed to staff up with Canadians to get the like tax incentive, tax breaks up there, to having no job and living here in LA and having rent due. And I was like, uh-oh. What the hell am I gonna do? And I was really sad. I was like, this is it. This is the end of my career. This is as far as I got. And so I was just sad for a little while, for a few weeks. I was like hiking a lot with Clem. And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go get a job in something I know nothing about, like that's entry level, and learn a new thing. And that's why I worked at Blue Bottle for a while, because I love coffee. And I was like, I'm just going to go get a job as a barista and like see where that takes me. And eventually I ended up getting another job in the film industry shortly after. And then I had two jobs for a while, which was nuts. But it, like, I just wanted to learn a new skill. I just wanted to do something different. I was like, I can't really like change what this situation is. I'm just going to go do something else.
Yeah.
I think keeping busy helps me.
Staying moving,
yeah,
and active. It sounds like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I think like just being at home in my apartment all day was not good for me. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
personally. Mm-hmm. Madeline writes, random question? Have any of you ever thought of a different name for yourself? Like, if you could pick a different first name, what would it be and why?
Whoa, I really like the name Cora.
Cora.
That's
precious.
Oh, that's
a cute name. Darling.
Mm-hmm. That's a really cute, like, mm-hmm. little kid name, too. Mm-hmm. Cora.
Like, if my name is Cora. Please call me Cora now.
Hi, Cora.
Yeah.
Becky.
Nah, I've never thought of another name.
Yeah.
I'm Rebecca. Just kind of a Becky.
Yeah.
You know?
You're rooted in your identity.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways that you could, like, change Rebecca around. Like, you could be mm-hmm. Rebecca, or you could be Bex, or you could be Becky.
Reba. She's trying Reba. To be Bex.
I'm trying.
Nobody's nothing listening.
Sticks. Nothing sticks.
We call you Bex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every other time. So yeah. Like when we remember.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend in college who out of nowhere asked us to call him, his name's Josha, asked us to call him Patches. Like, out of call nowhere. He tried so name. Long to get call Patches to call stick. Patches. And I was like, I just can't do that. You should have introduced yourself as that from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of our friends in college went by nicknames. Like in Keith's uh-huh. improv group, they all had like we have a friend, Brian, that I call him B-O. Mm-hmm. Nobody really calls him mm-hmm. Brian. We had another friend we call Cloud.
Yeah. Oh, I have friends like that in college too.
Yeah.
My best friend was born Elizabeth. She grew up going by Betsy. It's hard for me to get there. Oh. She went by Betsy. And then in college, we only called her Shady. I still call her Shady.
Wow.
Shady.
Those of you who are in Betsy, middle school and high doing? School, your next place that you go, yeah. if you want a new name,
if you want to change your name,
you better start it. That's your chance. That's your window.
I do remember I think it was middle school, there was like a new kid. And they were like, okay, so, you know, John something, and he was like, Spike.
Oh.
Do you think his parents knew that he was calling himself Spike?
I don't know, but everybody called him Spike. Like, I Spike. I truly forgot his real name.
Yeah.
Because he was just Spike.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
Watch Wes be like, yeah. go just to kindergarten and be like, Spike.
But I definitely went through a phase where I wanted to be called Tiffany.
What?
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yeah. Like the jewelry.
I mean, you guys, I was born in the 80s. I grew up in the 90s. Like, who didn't want to be a Tiffany?
Wow.
You could call me Tiff.
Yeah,
like, Tiff. That's so cute.
Tiff. Cora, Bex.
That's a different show, y'all.
Yeah, just Tiff, Cora, and Bex. Wow.
They're definitely not married to the Try Guys. I don't know what's going on.
No, but I feel like
they might play at Lilith Fair on occasion.
What is that?
Oh, it's like a ladies' music festival.
Ooh, that sounds fun. What
is that? This is from Maya. Question on reducing waste and a thank you. Hi, my name is Maya. I'm 22-year-old female currently living in Charlotte, North Carolina. Shout out Miles.
Hey.
I've seen tips on Becky's Instagram stories about eco-friendly items to use and ways to reduce waste. Ooh. And I had seen a Try Guys video that Zach and Maggie have reusable toilet cloths. Do you?
We have reusable paper towels.
But they do, that brand makes toilet paper. I'm eco-friendly, baby, but not that eco-friendly.
One of my coworkers is an avid hiker and she has a reusable paper towel cloth that she carries with her when she goes backpacking because sometimes she's on the trailhead for 12 plus hours. She's intense.
She uses it when she pees?
When she pees.
And then she just packs it back up?
Mm-hmm. But she, yeah, the majority of what she sees on her hikes are a lot of toilet paper, like the littering.
Oh.
So she'll put on gloves and kind of pick up.
Doesn't toilet paper break down? It's paper. It should just get wet. You should just pour your water bottle on it. It should break down, right? Am I wrong?
It doesn't work.
Am I wrong? Am I right?
Quite that quickly. Yeah. It doesn't work quite that quickly.
Maybe there's certain brands that are more.
Yeah.
That break down easier. I don't know. But yeah, she loves her little reusable toilet paper. It's for pee pee though.
Yeah, pee pee, no pee pee.
No poo poo. No poo. I don't know what to do with
that. That doesn't seem that gross to me.
Yeah.
That seems fine.
It's the holding on to it that I can't do.
Put it in a little bag of some sort.
Yeah.
But I know
your pee pee baggy.
Yeah,
a pee-pee baggie. Now you have a pee-pee baggie.
We don't have the toilet paper, but we love
just
the paper towels.
Just wait till you have kids. You're going to have a pee-pee life.
Yeah. There's pee-pee on everything.
I mean, my own pee-pee.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't care about other people's pee-pee.
Just stay really hydrated.
Well, you hike mine out. I'll hike yours out.
My pee-pee. It does make me think about cloth diapering, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I have some friends that do that.
Cloth diapering, I would love to do cloth diapering, but... Mm-hmm. It's the same idea as the reusable toilet paper where you kind of have to wipe the poop off and then wash it in your own.
Or you can send it out, but if you send it out, basically the gas and the carbon footprint it takes to get to your house, to take it back to the laundromat.
To ship.
And to do all of that makes it negate the eco-friendliness.
Right.
I looked into it. And then I was like, we're going to have twins. No.
That would be a lot of poopy diapers.
Especially like when they have the blowouts.
Oof. Full month we had
them.
What
do you even do?
We went through 650 diapers that month.
Whoa.
That's the month of April 2019.
Did you count?
We were logging them on an app to make sure both babies were like peeing and pooping enough because...
When you have two,
you could really lose track. We didn't do that for a long time, but for the first couple months. Mm-hmm. And so then we looked on our app.
You're like, damn.
Let me get to Maya's question.
Okay.
Sorry. We're all excited. Went on a tangent about the pee-pee poo-poo.
What are some tips that you have for people who want to live a more eco-friendly lifestyle? I'm trying to adopt new habits that can help reduce my waste, be kinder to the planet, and ultimately reduce my carbon footprint during our climate emergency.
Mm-hmm.
All of this would be greatly appreciated. So just some tips she's asking for.
Yeah.
Use what you have.
This is a great,
use what you have. You don't have to buy new things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just try and remember, like 80% of what's happening right now is because of big corporations and not individuals.
Yeah.
So not everything that's like eco-friendly is also accessible.
Yeah.
To everyone.
Yeah.
So just remember, try and remember that and be nice to yourself. And just try and use what you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest thing is like, don't buy shit.
Yeah.
That's like the number one thing you can do that's good for the environment.
Yeah.
Stop buying shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got one in my DMs of a girl in college wanting to know like what she can do in the dorms. And I was reading an article on like the single best thing that an individual consumer can do is just reduce their consumption of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a big, easy one.
Yeah.
Honestly,
with air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn off your air conditioning.
Living in a dorm is pretty eco-friendly to begin with. Because if you think about the amount, okay, so when you say use what you have, it makes me think of like, I generally think kitchen first when I think of like reducing waste, right?
Yeah.
So using jars and try not to use plastic baggies or
if you do have to use plastic baggie, reuse that just shit, girl.
It. Yeah, exactly.
You just wash it out. We have a ton of like freezer bags that you just rinse, throw back in. Mm-hmm. You get takeout.
My grandmother
throw back
always
in.
Did that only because she like had six kids through the Great Depression, not because she was trying to be eco-friendly, but she was like, why would I throw out this bag if it has no holes in it? You're nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of like Black, Brown, Indigenous communities are actually the first people to do things that are eco-friendly out of necessity, not out of like any sort of, you know, they're like veganism is capitalism and all of that kind of stuff. But people were just doing it because that's what they had access to.
Yeah.
Like reusing old milk jugs for planting shit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is that it's eco-friendly because if you're like eating at a like in a cafeteria setting or something like that, all of the packaging is for bulk. And so you're not, you know, you don't have all these tiny packaging. At least that's how it worked when I was in college was like, you know, we had these big things of cereal and, you know, like huge scoopers of yogurt and
Everything's
stuff.
Everything's basically like, like buffet style service.
Exactly. Yeah.
More bulk.
And so, you know, that in itself is probably reducing a little bit of waste because you don't have these tiny, you know, little packages. I think every time I give Wes, you know, like a little package of, because he loves the little self-serve peanut butter crackers or something. Oh, yeah. And I'm just like, here you go. You know, he likes to open them himself. But I think we've started getting like the big packages and pouring them into like a little one of those silicone baggies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like that's a little thing that you can do.
Yeah.
And then like living in a dorm, you're not heating like a huge house for two people, you're heating an entire dorm for hundreds of people, you know, like, I don't know. That's that's where my head went.
Yeah. But you're right. It's like something like 10 corporations make up most of the world's like pollution. Yeah.
Also, a crazy thing I heard, which I haven't fact checked, but I'm like pretty sure it was true, was that Chevron came up with climate change.
Yes, I heard climate that too.
Because they did a study and then they
realized what was happening.
Or no, sorry, not climate change. Carbon footprint.
Yeah. Yes.
Carbon footprint is what they came up with. And I was like, huh, well, how about that? How about that? Yeah, it's corporations.
Yeah.
Do what you can on an individual level, but like pressure oil company.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really the big thing.
Something that I feel like I learned from you actually is also, you know, because it is corporations, using your value as a consumer.
Yeah.
And, investing your money only in places that you know are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
We live in capitalism. Money talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But any individual thing, I think, is powerful in getting the conversation between people. So, like the thing about the straws, and a lot of people mock the straws and stuff, but it did get people to start talking about ways in which they can help.
So, but also put all this pressure on people not to use these straws.
True.
When there are people who do need to use straws. So it's a very nuanced, I think it's about guilt.
Yeah.
I think like 90% of the shit online is guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we guilt you into, and it's usually into guilt buying. For profit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel like you have to buy else.
Because Zach and I do have like reusable paper towels, but like not to say that we have emergency stash of regular paper towels, because my sister comes over and it drives her bananas. She's like, where are the single use paper towels? We keep them under the sink just in case there's a big mess.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just do what
and
you can.
We're in a panorama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah. Be nice. Think, is this for love or for hate?
Yeah. It all comes back to
it
the
all
mental
comes
game.
Back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that you said was use what you have. You know?
Yeah.
Because like you don't have to go out and buy a silicone straw. You know, if you have if you got a straw in your takeout order, you can use it.
Use it.
Hey, heck, use it five times. Yeah, I feel good about it.
And if you need straws, that's okay. But just thinking about what you're doing is like step one, and also pressuring corporations is is steps two through 100. That's what really needs to happen. Just know that. It's not on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do what you can.
But Chevron, if you're listening, we need to talk.
Chevron, if you're listening, fuck you.
Well, yes, that too.
You can't.
They did like
a
tweet the other day that was like AOC like tweeted back at them. It was something like, "What can you do to like reduce your carbon footprint or something?" And they were like, "I don't know, not fucking have oil spills every other day.
Oh my God.
Not dump a bunch of oil in the ocean is probably number one."
Let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there. How about that?
I love the emails. Keep sending them to us. We love chatting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can sit with us.
You can.
Thank you guys so much for sending in your questions. We loved answering them today. Definitely keep emailing us, you little cutie booties. And until next time, you know,
cutie booties.
Like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. Wash your hands, wear your mask, be nice to people. Choose love. You know, choose love today.
Change the inner monologue to love.
Change the inner monologue to love.